Please, to the book of St. John, chapter 15. St. John, chapter number 15. Verse number 7, we'll begin there. John 15, verse 7. Would you stand, please, while we read the Word of God? It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God tonight. And thank you, Lord, we could come here and open the Word of God, hear the testimonies of praise unto God for your goodness. And Lord, surely they've all been good praises unto God. We thank you for answering prayer. We thank you, God, for helping. We thank you for being a comforter. We thank you, Lord, for that everlasting, abundant grace is amazing. And I pray that you'd help all of our people tonight and every need that they have and touch hearts and lives and magnify yourself. Then, Father, we pray you'd help those that are out and tonight they're sick, they're away, some in the hospital, some at home, but I pray you'd help them. Help those here at church that are sick, and I pray the divine touch of God according to your will and for your glory. But Father, we need you now to help us preach for a few moments. Help us be able to share the Word of God like we ought to. Help us just rightly divide it, and we'll praise you and thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on this subject, the life that counts, the life that counts. I think all of us want to have a life that counts for something, and we desire that. That's even unsaved people, they think about, they like to wonder, and I remember before I got saved, I wondered what life was about, and why did I exist, and tonight we're going to talk about the life that counts, and if we are saved, and our life is not counting for God, it may be because we're living in selfishness or worldliness or indifference or just unconcern, or it may be something else that's in our lives, but some reason that if we're not living a life that is counting for God, then God's concerned about it, and I believe we ought to be concerned about it. I believe every saved person ought to live a life that counts for God. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that. You don't have to be on the mission field to do that. You don't have to be a great singer to do that. You have to be just a willing vessel of the Lord to count for God. I want to count for God. And we were talking about Sudan a while ago. I want to count for God in that situation somehow. If it's nothing more than being on my knees praying for God to send forth laborers, I can do that. Or I may be able to help some other way, but whatever God leads in, we can do what we can do and count for God. Now, let me say, first of all, I'm just going to give you five things real quickly. I think I'll give you five anyway. See how it goes, and I'll try to. And I'll try to basically give you an outline, but I pray that a little bit of me to be on it and something to help you along the way. But number one, if you want a life that counts for God, it's got to be Christ-centered. It can't be centered in anything else but Christ. Spiritually, we need to be centered in Christ. We need our faith centered in Christ and our principles centered in Christ, our practice centered in Christ. If we're really going to count for God, our lives must be that way. And the principle that we live by ought to be a Christian principle centered in Christ. Our spiritual life ought not be in some kind of emotional thing, although emotions are good. And I tell you a while ago, when Brother Mark took a running fit, it stirred my emotions. Amen. But it wasn't just emotions that it stirred. It stirred something down inside that I know that he knows, and it helped me. Amen. Amen. I can't run like that anymore. I'm glad he does. It helps me because it stirs my heart. It's Christ-centered. That's giving God glory and Christ-centered. And so you lie. But you know what? I find and talking to pastors and missionaries and people, men of God across that we talk to different places, we find that many of them moan because of the fact that we have people in churches that live lives that's not Christ-centered. Other things come along, they're gone. It's more important than church. It's more important than what God's doing. It's more important than what God wants to do. And so we find that we need a Christ-centered life. Everything that we are or do ought to be centered in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Now, I'm not trying to be mean or trying to say that you got to act this way or comb your hair this way or that way. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to be Christ-centered in all of our lives and everything that we do, wherever, however that it is. It may not be in church building itself. It may be out there on a job. It may be in the house at home. But it needs to be Christ-centered. What would Jesus do? Someone wrote a book one time about what would Jesus do? And the whole congregation was trying to follow that. Everything come up. They said, what would Jesus do? It revolutionized their life and their church. And I'd say to you, if every one of us would do that, it revolutionized our lives probably in our church. Just what would Jesus do? Being Christ-centered is centered in on him. And he is the center. Hallelujah. Fact is, he's everything. Amen. He's everything that we need, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say number two, it needs to be Bible anchored. If it's going to be a life that is counts for God, it's going to be Christ-centered, and then it's going to be Bible anchored. Look in verse number 7. He said, if ye abide in me, there's a Christ-centeredness of it, abiding in him. Now, we know he comes to abide in us and lives in us. Now, this phrase here is used in the sense that we keep our focus on him, that we live for him. You remember there's a verse of scripture over in Jude that says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That used to bother me because I thought, well, God loves me in spite of myself. How do I keep myself in the love of God? But what he's saying is keep yourself in the position where that God's love can manifest itself in you and through you. And here's why he's saying abide in Christ. Keep in such a position that your eyes are upon him and that you magnify him in your life. I say hallelujah. But this Bible anchored, and notice what it said after it said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, that's really important. I'll get to it in just a moment in the next thing we're going to say. But being Bible anchored, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe you need to hear preaching. I believe you need to hear the word of God. I believe you need to hear it taught. You need to hear it preached. You need to hear it anywhere you can hear it. You need to read it. You need to get the word of God down deep inside of you and become a part of you, anchored by the word of God. And I know what the word of God says is true. I realize the word of God has never failed. I know God gave me his word to guide me and direct me, so I say hallelujah for the word of God. And I want my faith to grow, and therefore I want to be a life used of God. It has to be a life anchored in this book right here if it's going to be used of God. Count for God. Count. Are you counting for God and letting the word of God? I thought about this in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good of them that love God, called according to his purpose. I don't understand. Now, I can't say that I understand everything that happens. And Brother Mark, I don't understand everything that happens. But I do know this. I do know that God has a reason and a purpose for everything that he allows to come to any of his children. When Job went through what Job went through, it wasn't just because God was jumping up and down because he was going through that. It was because God was working in his heart and in his life and helping others around. What do you think those friends learned out of that? What do you think people around him learned through his sufferings and what he went through? I believe that God always does everything for a purpose. And God has everything. A life that counts for God is a life anchored in his word of God. If you're anchored in it, you believe it whether you understand it or not. Amen. A lot of things I don't understand about it, but I believe it, amen. I believe it's true. I don't understand why. I know God painted the picture, and I know God made it so that he wouldn't have to do it, but why would God ask Abraham, after he promised him a son of his own person, and there come Isaac, why would he command him to take him up on the mount and to sacrifice him? Now, if I'd been Abraham, I would have said, Lord, I believe we need to sit down and talk about this, because you made me a promise that he would be the seed through which we multiply and make a nation. And now you're telling me to go up there and sacrifice him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have had a problem with that. And I believe most of us, and that's what happens when trouble comes our way. We have problems with things like that. When Abraham, you know what he did? He simply believed God would even raise Isaac from the dead if need be. How you know, preacher, he believed that? Because of what he told those men back there that stayed with by the donkeys at the, as they went up the mount. He said, you wait here. Now I'm putting this in my words. He said, you wait here. We're going yonder and worship and return. Hallelujah. He didn't say a word about leaving Isaac up there. And he knew he didn't have a lamb. He knew he didn't have anything with him. All he knew was God said, go up there and sacrifice him. And then Abraham said, we're coming back. That's all I know. If that's true, then he had to believe that God was going to raise him from the dead if need be. He'd do that, but God provided a ram instead, and you know the story. But what I'm saying is we look back on that, we see the whole picture, and we understand it, and we don't think too much about that. But if you was in Abraham's shoes and didn't see the picture from the other side of that mount, then you kind of get shook up. That's what happens to us. And we're all, hey, by the way, we're all human. Every one of us, every one of us has fears, and every one of us has disappointments. Every one of us has things that bother us, and things that we have to deal with. And may God help us. And I realize I'm preaching to myself as well as everybody. I want a life that counts for God. It'll be Christ-centered. It'll be anchored in the Word of God. I'll tell you something else it'll be. It'll be prayer-supported. Prayer-supported. Look at it in verse number 7 again. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, I said a while ago that words abiding in you, I'm going to come back to it and make some comments on that. And here it says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, that qualified by abiding in him and his word abiding in us. That qualifies that phrase there, you ask what you will. If you're abiding in him like you ought to abide in him and close to him, and if you are letting the word of God live in you and you're believing what God said, then you can ask what you will, because you'll be asking according to his will and not according to the flesh and ungodliness. Amen. If our praying is not seasoned by abiding in him and his word abiding in us, we'll be praying foolishly. And God doesn't answer that kind of prayer. He's saying here, you abide in me, and my word abide in you, and then let me seal it to you. Let me just insert this right here. And I'm preaching on faith and dealing with faith and believing God. And sometimes, and I realize my faith is small, and I realize many times we all feel like our faith is very little and don't know how to deal with it. But as we think about this, I think here's what he's saying to us. And some people can say, and I'm thinking about Brother Jerry saying he turned the corner and believing for his children to get saved. God gave him peace. God gave him assurance that would happen. And I understand that. I believe that. But I may be praying about something. I was glad to hear Brother Gary talk about his children tonight and what God is doing in his son's life. And I believe he's turning the corner. I believe he's headed in the right direction. And God's dealing with what he's been taught. What he'd been taught through the years, he can't get away from him. He can't get away from that. And God is now bringing it to his attention. And when he realized he shouldn't be asking God for something if he wasn't going to listen to God, you know what he was doing? He's saying, I'm not abiding in Christ, and his word's not abiding in me, so I've been asking foolishly. I've been asking for rain when I shouldn't have been asking for rain. And so he's doing what this scripture right here said, except he's doing it in reverse. This scripture said do it, and he's realizing he wasn't doing it, so he didn't have a right to ask. And so we need to understand, though, if we are abiding in Christ, His Word is abiding in us, we will be asking according to His will, and God will seal that to our heart when if it's real and right as He wants to do so. Amen? And because you right now don't have that assurance, as somebody else has, that don't mean you don't have faith. That don't mean you're not right with God. That just means just keep on praying and keep on believing and keep on asking God to help you abide in Christ and the Word abide in you, and you'll be prayerful. They sang that song over here the other night, the wall of prayer. Sometimes a wall of this and that and the other, but said we need the wall of prayer. I say amen and amen. We need the wall of prayer. We need to pray. Brother Jimmy, I need your prayers. And I believe you need mine. I believe we need each other's prayers. I believe we need to pray for Sudan. I believe people over in Sudan that are saved are praying for somebody to come and labor in their country. I believe they're like Macedonia. Somebody's saying, come over and help us. And we need to come over and help them. Hey, I believe tonight as we pray one for another and build a wall prayer, a prayer support. If a life's going to count for God, it's got to be abiding in Him. It has to be anchored in the Word of God and has to be, listen, it has to be what God said here, prayer, supported by prayer and praying. But notice the next thing, if you would please. Fruit bearing. Look in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, if you're going to have a life that counts for God, it's going to bear some fruit. Look down in verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He said, I'm the vine. The branch got to be connected to the vine so that it have the sap that comes up and the nutrients that come up so it can bear fruit on the branch. And we're going to abide in him so we can have that strength of Christ to come up so we can bear fruit in him. I say tonight, if our lives are going to count for God, we must bear fruit. Now let me say, fruit bearing is not just soul winning. That's part of it. If we're going to bear fruit, then we have to be witnesses for Christ and win somebody to God. But that's not all there is to it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hey, if we're going to be fruit bearing, let's bear that kind of fruit too. That is, if we'll love right, we'll witness well. Amen. Love and peace and joy. Hey, all those kind of things he said was a fruit bearing. So if you're going to have a life that counts for God, in other words, your life will show other people around you will catch on to that spirit that you have, that you are filled the Spirit of God, and that you are Christ, and that what you say about Jesus is real in your life, and that you are genuine, and you can count for God. But let me give you the last thing here, and I'll try to be rapidly with this, but notice, and let me, before I finish this about fruit bearing, it says bear much fruit. He said bear fruit in verse 2, and then he said bear much fruit, and verse 8 he said bear much fruit. God wants us not only bear fruit, but much fruit, and that we might be a blessing to others, and it does bless his others. Identify us with the Lord Jesus. But let me give you the last thing. It ought to be love motivated. Look in verse number 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so if we're really going to count, have a life that counts for God, it'll have to be motivated by the love of God. If it's not, it won't amount to anything. These things he said, I've spoken. Well, let me close with this. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How can you have joy, be full of joy, is have a life that counts for God. And how do you have a life that counts for God? Abide in Christ. Abide in him. Let his words abide in us. Pray. Let prayer support our lives. Bear fruit. Love him. Love others. If we do that, we'll keep his commandments. Now, a whole lot could be said about that, and I'm not going to try to dig into that tonight. Simply want to, I got to thinking about it, a life that counts for God. A And we need to let our lives count for God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Brother Tim, Miss April, if y'all come.